Morning,
Welcome to the FBG Holdings PLC Preliminary Final Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we shall conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Cathal O'Keeffe. Sir, you may begin. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the call. Let me see. Andrew's going to do most of the talking, and I'm going to hand over to him very briefly just to deal with one housekeeping item, which is when we get to the end, we're going to take questions from the room here first, and after we've had questions from the room, then Andrew will throw it open to questioning from those people participating on the telephone link. Andrew, do you want to begin?
Sure. Good morning, everybody, both people in the room and people on the telephone call as well. Thank you very much for your interest and your attendance. I'm going to just go through our presentation, which has been put up on the internet this morning, and the people in the room have it here in front of them, so I'll be referring to different pages in the presentation throughout. And I'm going to start on page 3 of the presentation and some of the highlights of the 2010 results, which we published this morning. First of all, on a financial side, we are very pleased to have delivered again in 2010 a solid operation performance in what has been a very challenging and difficult operating environment on a number of fronts, and we'll discuss some of those on the following slides. Our operating profit increased by 41% to almost €41 million, delivering operating EPS of 105.85 cents per share, up from 75 cents per share. And although there was profit on an operating line and cash flow from both our divisions, the big driver in the results improvement was the combined operating ratio improving from 104%, improving to 104% from 99.8%. This led to our operating profit increasing by 61% to €35.4 million, despite the impact of very severe weather in the Irish, in Ireland in January and December 2010. We revalued our property assets in our insurance business and our property and leisure business, and we will discuss these later. There was a loss, there was valuation impairment of €50 million, which led to a loss before tax of just under €3 million. At the end of the period, we continue to have a very strong balance sheet, and solvency in our core insurance business, Equity Insurance PLC, strengthened further to 61% of net earned premiums, which is well above our internal target of 55% and significantly ahead of the minimum regulatory requirement of about 17% of our net earned premiums. We have increased our dividend both on a final and a full year basis by 5%, so the final dividend is going to increase to 21 cents per share, and that's bringing the total dividend to 31.5 cents per share. On an operational line, our gross written premium grew for the first time in 3 years, and it grew by 0.3% against a very difficult market backdrop. This resulted in our market share increasing from 11.5% to 11.8% without any increase in our insurance exposure. Our market share has now increased in 9 of the last 10 years, and at a market level, it's encouraging the premium rates, particularly for property insurance, continue to harden. In terms of our core strategic initiatives, we have increased our Dublin penetration again this year to over 5%, and that includes increase in personal lines and business insurance. The underwriting turnaround that we have seen this year has been driven by A, increase in rates primarily put through in 2009 and 2010, but also improving claims frequencies, successful claims initiatives on our own part, and also cost initiatives, including pension costs, which have seen an €11 million credit to our profit and loss account arising from changes in employees' and pension benefits during the year. To move on then to page 4, and what we're trying to do here is put our own performance in a market context. And as we all are aware, the last number of years, and 2010 in particular, have been very challenging from an operational point of view and an environmental point of view. There's three indicators on that slide, on the left-hand side of that slide, showing how the Irish economy has evolved over the last 3 years, and the indicator that we believe is the best barometer of insurable activity is the middle one, domestic demand. And we can see that domestic demand over the last 3 years has contracted by 24.5%, which is very significant. Unemployment has also risen to 13.5%, which also has an impact on the insurance market. And as a result, insurable volumes and values have reduced in line with the economic activity. We believe that certainly in the second half of last year and coming through to this year, the domestic economy will continue to be influenced by uncertainty about Ireland's fiscal position. And we also believe that the economy will continue to contract further on a domestic demand basis. And I think the forecasters have estimates of between 2 and 4% of a further contraction in the economy. And our view at this stage is that it's more likely to be at the higher end of that. Developments in the economy and in the economy obviously feed through very strongly to the insurance industry. And if you look at the right-hand panel on slide 4, on the positive side, the insurance industry saw rates harden significantly in 2009 and 2010, and particularly in the property account. Having said that, volumes and values have continued to climb during 2010, with the result that the industry premium actually contracted by 2.6%. Looking at the profitability of the industry, although we do not yet have the figures for 2010, our view is that the industry profitability is unlikely to improve significantly. And there's a small table below it which shows that on the main personal lines accounts, car insurance had a combined ratio of 105% in 2008 and 108% in 2009, whereas the home insurance account had a combined rate of 137% in 2008 and 138% in 2009. And while there have been significant rate increases in home insurance, the freezing weather in January and December 2010 will mean that any significant improvement in 138 is not that likely. Also, global investment returns remain low, and insurers, as a result, have to focus on generating a positive underwriting return, and we see this as a very positive dynamic for the industry. Moving over to page 5, as I said, we saw the industry premium shrinking by 2.6% last year, and there's a graphic on slide 5 on the top right hand side, and you can see the rate of contraction in the Irish insurance industry, and that's the blue line, since 2001. And in fact, since 2003, the industry has actually contracted by almost 30%. Focusing on the bar chart there, we can see that as at 2010, FBD market share increased from 11.5% to 11.8%. At this stage, unfortunately, we only have access to the industry figure and our own figure for 2010, so we are not in a position to say what the market share at the end of 2010 was for other players in the industry. So moving forward then, we go through each of the main lines for our underwriting accounts in turn, and slide 6 concentrates on premium. And as I said at the outset, 2010 was the first rise in gross written premium since 2007. FBD for the last number of years has been prepared to grow volume growth in any less profitable segments, but we are happy to see that our overall volume has stabilised during 2010. And there's a graphic at the bottom right hand corner of slide 6 which splits the change in our gross written premium between policy volume, average premium charge, cover and mix, and the total. And you can see from that the reduction in policy volume that we suffered in 2009 have more or less reduced, and our volume was pretty stable in 2010. We obviously have benefited from the relative strength of the agri sector in 2010 compared to some of the other sectors in the Irish economy. On the rate side, during 2010 industry rates did continue to harden, and that was particularly true of the property account on home insurance and business insurance. And you can see a graphic on the top right hand side of slide 6 which shows that home insurance rates since January 2008 have increased by about 50%, while private car insurance has increased by somewhere around 20%. However, it's very important to note that reductions in cover and insurable values have significantly. So although the rates being charged have increased, the average premiums that insurers are generating have not increased by anything like the same extent. It's also our view at the moment that market rates for larger insurance risks are becoming very competitive, and we are we very much intend to keep our own discipline when we're talking about rates of that size or risks of that size. Over the last year, we've seen improved retention rates and higher conversion rates, which have both helped our volume. And there's no doubt that the weather events in 2008 and 2009 and now at the end of 2010 have provided a further impetus for rate hardening in the marketplace. Then to look at, still on the premium slide, on slide 7, and I think it's important to point out that despite the very challenging macro picture that's facing us in Ireland, SPD does have certain growth opportunities. The first one is, and I've referred to already, is the fact that historically we've been underpenetrated in Dublin, but we have been making very good progress in the last number of years, which is shown in the graphic on the bottom left-hand side of that slide. So now Dublin accounts for about 14% of our gross written premium figures, from a figure about 3 years ago of 8%. Now, that growth has come across the board. So it is in commercial lines, whether that be through broker or through our own direct sales force, and has come through personal lines as well, house and car insurance. Secondly, in terms of business insurance, although we have a very strong presence in business insurance historically, there are still segments and distribution channels where we are very underpenetrated. And we're very pleased that despite the very severe contraction in commercial activity in Ireland during 2010, our own business insurance accounts actually increased. And there's contributions there from all channels, our direct channel and our broker channel. We have been very successful in our initiatives through brokers, and we've increased our new business from urban centres and across the board, and we have enhanced our offering for brokers as we look at rolling that out to further brokers this year, and we have upgraded our products, our systems and our people to make it more suitable for broker market, and we are now in a position, we believe, where we can push ahead. Our local office network of 34 offices has had a very successful year focusing on our farming and business accounts. And personal lines on slide 8. The personal lines market, as we've seen from earlier slides, is a very competitive market, and we can see that by the margins that are being generated on house insurance and car insurance. Also, it's evident by the huge advertising spend for insurers on car and home insurance over recent months and years. We are adapting our platform for personal lines insurance to make sure that we meet the needs of our customers, and there's been a quite significant change over the last couple of years, and we sell home and motor insurance through FD.ie and now no-nonsense.ie, which is geared very much towards budget online shoppers, has grown to about 15,000 customers on car insurance, and we successfully launched at the end of last year a home insurance product. And we can see, if we look at the two graphics on the right hand side of slide 8, we can see that almost a quarter of our car insurance premium is now coming from No Nonsense. And if you look on an overall basis, from a position 3 years ago where all of our car insurance was distributed through our local office, we now see over 40% coming through the internet, a further 25% or so coming through our telephone support centre, with the balance coming through the sales office, and much of that would be business car insurance connected to farm insurance or business insurance clients. In terms of No Nonsense, it fits very neatly with our imperative of growing our business in Dublin, because Dublin represents 45% of all web-based car insurance business. And we've also made significant upgrades to our customer servicing options, and we have a facility now where customers can renew online, and the customer experience there is excellent, and it's also good for SPD from a cost point of view. We have also, over the last 18 months or so, grown our house insurance accounts, including Dublin, quite significantly. If we can move on to the cost side then, and obviously our major input cost is claims cost. And on slide 9, we can see very encouragingly, and a big driver in our results, was the reported loss ratio reduced from 84%, 83.8 to 77.4. And that is despite the very severe weather that we had in January and December, which cost us, net of reinsurance, about €29 million, which is really 10% on the loss ratio. There has been an improvement, especially in the second half of the year, and this is somewhat related to economic contraction. There has been an improvement in non-weather-related property claims. It's also helped by the underwriting initiatives and the claims initiatives we have undertaken. There has also been, and again it's only 1 year, but 2010 was a positive year from the point of view of large claims. So we probably had less large claims and less increase in large claims than we would expect on average. The frequency of motor injury claims has also improved, and on the following slide, I won't jump to it now, but there is a slide showing the reduction in road deaths, and obviously related to that is the reduction in motor accidents over the last number of years. And again, that reduction in frequency is due, one, to risk selection on our part, but probably more so to the reduction in economic activity in the economy. Obviously, the rate increases that we put through in 2009 and 2010, especially early 2010, have fed through to our improving the loss ratio. And we show there that December weather cost us $29 million net of reinsurance just January and December last year. And it's probably worth saying that although the weather claims in December were very, very significant, the impact on the bad weather in December had on the economy probably had a positive point to you, because people couldn't travel, and when they were travelling at very low speeds, and in general the amount of risk out there in the economy reduced. As I said, the underwriting and claims initiatives that we've been putting through, and that's everything from risk selection to policy wording to direct settlement on claims to improved fraud management, they have all been coming through and feed through into our combined ratio. And the net effect of those is our loss ratio has continued to improve once you exclude abnormal events. And there's a graphic on the right-hand side there which shows the blue line on the top is our reported loss ratio on our accounts, and the purple line is our loss ratio excluding abnormal events. And obviously we've had more abnormal events than we would anticipate over the last couple of years. And the trend there has been very, very positive, especially in the second half of the year. But I think that it would be very early to say that is a repeatable trend that we will see being delivered in the long term. Even after that, on the claim side, we have not reduced the level of our reserving strength during the year. So our position in terms of our claims reserving, if anything, is marginally stronger than it was at the end of 2009. So our results have not been flattered to any extent by any release of reserves or weakening of our reserves. And there is a small graphic there showing in the last 14 months, and obviously what our customers are paying us their premium for us to make good our promise to them, and we did quite a lot of that in the last 14 months in terms of weather events. And those four events, from the flooding in November 2009 to the freeze in December 2009, we paid out gross claims of €90 million. That's costing us net of insurance about €39 million, and it's affected 14,000 customers. So it has been very, very significant, and we're delighted to be in a position to put to make good our promise to those customers. On slide 10 then, there's a further slide on claims trends, and some of those relate back to the previous slide, so you have to bear with us a little bit. But number one, we are continuing ourselves to make strides to improve our claims costs. And during the year in November, unfortunately it was the same again that the snow started, we implemented a new claims management system which will improve processing times, fraud detection, but probably most importantly will improve early decision making, which will all feed positively through in time to claims costs. We put a huge effort last year in increasing the resource and training to counter fraud, and that is not just claims staff, that is outsourced staff, that is sales staff, and with that we have seen a very good improvement in terms of our fraud detection rate. We have continued to focus, and we've completed our rollout of our direct settlement initiative, where we are doing our best to settle claims with customers as early as we can in the process while being fair to FPD and fair to the customer. And also we continue to innovate in processes to make sure that we can improve our settlement costs both in delivery and in terms of overall costs. The three graphics that we have here probably are more related to frequency caused by environmental factors rather than our own claims initiatives. And there's three interesting graphics here, I suppose. The first one on the top right-hand side shows the reduction in road fatalities per million population and per million vehicles registered. And we can see that there has been a very positive trend, which I suppose has picked up slightly at the start of this year, but again it's a very short period. But the ongoing trend is very positive, and it means that the road safety and the engineering and the enforcement and the education initiatives put through by government are working. But it also is probably a reflection that there's less people out on the road as well. And a slide to reinforce that is, if you look at the bottom left hand side of slide 10, you can see a chart showing the retail sales of automotive fuel in Ireland since 2005. And you can see, obviously in December 2010 there was a very sharp drop off, as people weren't driving at all because of the frozen weather. But you can see the ongoing trend shows a very sharp decline in the amount of fuel that people are buying. So obviously they're driving less, which has a feed through into insurance risk at the end of the day. You can also see the driving offences, again the base is 2008, you can see the frequency of all driving offences has reduced since 2008, with there's been a kink up in mobile phone detection. But I think that certainly, as far as I'm concerned, that is not an indicator that there's been less enforcement, because I believe there probably is more enforcement out there. And I think really what it is showing is that driving behaviour is improving, and that's obviously if you move into motor accidents. Then on the cost side, and I'm going to pass over to Cathal now on slide 11, we've obviously been very active this year in terms of managing our cost base.
Thanks, Andrew. And maybe I start off by looking at the table on the top right-hand side, and you see there that management expenses in the year came down marginally from 78.1 to 77.5 million. I thought that doesn't seem like a very significant move. In fact, it probably masks the significant amount of cost management activity that took place during the year. Okay? In particular, we've had a renegotiation of our defined benefit pension entitlements. Okay? We have restructured benefits, and we have introduced an employee contribution to the scheme. Okay? That has resulted in an 11.1 million reduction in the obligation for defined benefit pension, which you have seen as an item through the profit and loss account. Okay? In addition to that, okay, the impact of pay freezes, okay, and salary reductions have had on the pension, to actually reduce the pension liability by a further 2.8 million. That you can't see in the P&L, that's an item that goes through directly to reserves, but effectively adding the two of them together, the reduction in pension obligations through the year was approximately 14 million. Okay? In addition to that, we've had significant negotiations with staff in which we have changed the terms and conditions quite significantly and introduced salary freezes for most employees and salary reductions for employees, for more senior employees. I think the scale is effectively within 0 to 23% if we look at it cumulatively. Okay. Looking at the terms and conditions, terms and conditions has been an ongoing process, and indeed we're still in the process, fairly close to the completion of an additional stage. But it does mean that we will be getting an item like hours of work, changing automated increments into merit-based performance changes, etc. So there's some quite fundamental changes beneath, which clearly haven't provided the benefit in the 2010 cost and loss account, but will provide benefits going forward. I suppose a lot of them, particularly the pension increases, too, are about avoiding increases. As we know, most pension schemes in Ireland have been underfunded and have significant deficits. Okay, and the result is that the cost of the company, in most cases, is increasing over the year, and avoiding cost increases in that particular one. Looking at the net expense ratio on the bottom right hand side, you see the net expense ratio has gone up from 20.3% to 22%. In fact, the biggest single item of that is the change in net earned premium. In other words, it's only due to the fact that net earned premium is rising. But also, there is reinsurance has caused an increase, as has the deferred acquisition cost. In fact, if we actually look at the real underlying cost, the increase is negligible. Reinsurance, just to cover it, reinsurance, because of the weather and the accident history over the last number of years, reinsurance costs in Ireland are probably increasing, have been increasing, and probably will continue to increase, and that's as much a reflection of the general market for reinsurance, I suppose, as the situation in Ireland. Okay. The result of that is that our reinsurance commissions receivable in 2010 reduced from 13.9 million to 12.7 million, and looking forward we would expect to see further reductions in that. We will in 2011 make some changes to our reinsurance arrangements, which will which will mitigate some of the costs of further increases in reinsurance premiums. I think that we view what we're trying to do is continuously adjust our cost base, so it's to do two things. One is to meet customers' needs, and the second one is to underpin our competitive advantage. I suppose the bottom line, even though it's the first bullet point there, the bottom line is that FBD has the most competitive cost structure in the industry, and that's something that we want to retain going forward. Maybe I'll pass over to Andrew now.
Okay, thanks Carl. We've spent quite some time discussing our underwriting business, and on page 12 we spend some time discussing our non-underwriting businesses. Now, the environment for all these businesses has been quite challenging during the year, and we are very satisfied with the performances that they delivered in that environment. I'm just going to go through each of them in turn. Firstly, at Lacala. In Lacala, the highlight at Lacala was the excellent performance in property sales. So 46 property units were sold during 2010, despite a very difficult backdrop. And we see that as an excellent performance. And what has stood Lacala in very good stead is the quality of the product there, both in terms of the built product and the overall leisure product that sits alongside. As a result of that, we generated cash of over 13 million. And in terms of the leisure activity, Golf and Hotel are more or less in line in 2009, and that has been due to very proactive marketing. And the market there is still quite difficult. People who arrive in Malaga Airport and the Costa del Sol are staying for shorter periods, and when they're there, they're spending less. And obviously, as with all our businesses, we are focused on Lacala very much on cost. And there's a small table on the bottom right-hand side that shows all our non-underwriting businesses and the decrease in cost we've achieved there since 2007. Sunset Beach Club had another superb performance in 2010, and it was in line in 2009. And again, this is in a very, very difficult market backdrop, but Sunset managed to maintain a very, very strong profitability levels. Why can it do that? It can do it because it has a superb brand, and the level of repeat business that it gets is second to none, and it's out on its own compared to the people it's competing against. In Ireland, our FC Hotels, again, the Irish Hotels Federation conference is on currently up in Cavan, and the issues facing the Irish hotel industry are being well flagged there in terms of oversupply, where there's probably 25% too many bedrooms in the Irish hotel sector, but also the fact that demand has shrunk very, very sharply over the last 3 years, and I think the number of foreign visitors arriving in Ireland is down something like 30% since 2007. And against that, FBD Hotels has outperformed the market, and again, there's been a huge amount of activity there in terms of costs and in terms of sales and marketing to make sure that it is getting whatever customers there are and generating as much revenue as it can. Our financial services business, both FBD Brokers and FBD Financial Services, grew the contributions they made during 2010, which again, particularly for FBD Financial Solutions, has been because that participates in the life and pensions market, is a very, very strong result and has booked the market entirely, and has exceeded all our expectations for profits in 2010. FBD Brokers has also had a very strong year and again increased an already solid contribution. That has been delivered by growing new business and from new customers and from business customers, and FBD Brokers has a very strong presence in the buoyant agri-business sector. And then that's it from an operational point of view, and Cahill is now going to spend some time going through our balance sheet, starting on slide 13.
Yeah, Thanks, Andrew. Slide 13 looks at our underwriting asset allocation, and you'll see in the table that we have just over $1 billion worth of assets on the insurance side, of which 817 is the investment assets. Now, the split of the investment assets between risk assets and non-risk assets at the year end was 88% non-risk and 12% risk. You see, I'm taking the government gilts and deposits in cash there. Okay. Now, through a number of years, we have been de-risking the balance sheet. It's something we've talked about over a number of occasions. And on the top right-hand side, you'll see a slide which shows the extent to which that de-risking has taken place. In other words, if we were to go back to 2006, gilts and deposits would have represented roughly 64% of assets, of investment assets, whereas now they're at 88%. Okay? And that's a de-risking process that's been going on and that we've been happy to proceed with. We indicated to you at the year end that our long-term investment is, our long-term strategy will effectively focus on an 85-15 split, and that's that we still hold. And so at the moment we probably have more cash, or at the year end we probably have more cash than we will on an ongoing basis, but certainly we'll be trying to maintain that at about 85-15 going forward. As we indicated to you, I think we indicated to you at the this time last year, and again in September, we saw a situation where we were happy with the mix of gilts and non-gilts, with the mix of risk assets and non-risk assets. But when we got within the risk assets, we felt that we didn't have sufficient liquidity and that too much of our risk assets were invested in property, and that we would, when we got an opportunity at a reasonable price, take it so as to reduce our the extent of our property investments. And that has happened since the year end. We have sold three of our four UK investment properties, raising 20 million in cash. We won't be putting that in the German gilts. Okay, that, as I said, is on the risk side of the balance sheet. It's within the 15%, and we see it that we will be, having taken the money out of the property, we will put it into equities at an appropriate time. So we won't be rushing it in a single day, but we will be doing it over a period of time. Andrew mentioned earlier on our secured loans, okay, and our secured loans are in the balance sheet at 21 million, but down, you'll see, 37 million the previous year. And we've taken a significant write down in the value of our secured loans. We have written them down to approximate the value of the underlying assets on an existing use basis. Now, what that means is that for some of those assets, for example, a large site in Manchester that's currently a car park, we're valuing it on the basis of its car park income and not taking any consideration about the future development potential of that site. And likewise, there's other sites that are valued on the basis of agricultural land rather than basis of development sites. Okay. Now, we did ask so as to draw a line underneath the whole issue of valuations in the insurance company balance sheet. Okay? And we believe having taken that action, that we have effectively eliminated further write-offs within the insurance company balance sheet. I say effectively eliminated because I can't guarantee you that, for example, the old land and buildings are our own branches of the Irish property market. They'll further with clearing, they will, but the amounts are so small at this stage that we think that the potential is effectively eliminated. Okay? Maybe we go on now to slide number 14, which looks at the group assets, and of course they're the underwriting assets, and the two additional items that are added here are the hotel and golf resort of 120 million and the inventory of 46 million. Now, firstly, dealing with the hotel and golf resort, okay, in the course of the year, we have taken write-downs of 17 million. Most of that would have been in the first half, because there's no significant additional write-off at the year end on that item. And that write-off relates predominantly to Irish hotels. So like Spain is only a very small element of it, and reflects the movement in Irish hotel properties over the last year. At this stage, our Irish hotels, we've written them down 45% of the value at which they would have been at their peak in our books, which was December 2007, we wouldn't think that valuation was at its peak in market terms. It was probably higher than that, but it's certainly a 45% write down from our peak. Okay? Likewise, Lacala has been written down by 43%. Interestingly, Sunset, which Andrew mentioned earlier on, is having performed excellently. We haven't had to take any write down on it. Its current valuation is still higher than it was, if you like, at the peak period. When it comes to valuations, particularly for the Irish hotels, the Irish and the Spanish, but to a lesser extent the Spanish, we've had all our assets valued by professional external valuers, but for principally the Irish hotels, what we've done is that if we believe those valuers were being insufficiently prudent, we've taken an additional write-down of a known value. And that's something we did at last year's year-end, because we particularly felt that last year's year-end some of the valuers in Ireland were probably a bit too aggressive and they needed to be more conservative. And so we at that point put in a gap between their valuations and our valuations. We still have a gap. The gap now isn't as big because we think they've caught up a piece, but we're still of the view that maybe some of the valuers are being a little bit aggressive, and therefore we're taking a further write down now. When it comes to valuations, we would believe that at the moment what we have is prudent valuations that take into account the quality, the performance and the location of the underlying assets. We think that that overall the potential for further downside is limited because of the amounts that we've taken over the last 3 years, and that on the underwriting side the potential for downside is effectively limited. Okay. Now, claims runoff has been a very important feature of FPD for a number of years. I'm delighted to say that in 2009 we've had a further saving of 50 million in our prior year claims reserves. We've had a positive runoff now each year since 2003, and we think that will has the potential to consume the future. Andrew mentioned earlier on that our claims reserves were prepared on a consistent basis with previous years. In other words, they were neither more prudent nor less prudent than they had been at the previous year end. And our auditor's conclusion in relation to our reserves would be that they are at the upper end of the acceptable range. Okay. So we're quite satisfied that we have a prudent reserve policy that continues. Going over the page, our insurance solvency. The insurance company solvency is up from 55% of net earned premium last year to 61% in the current year, and our reserving ratio has increased to 243%, a marginal increase. On our balance sheet there are two items, if you like. Everything in our balance sheet is included at market values with the exception of two items. The first is government gilts, where we have a 20.8 million gain on government gilts that is not recognised in our accounts. Okay, that will amortise over the period through to maturity, and the period through to maturity is at this stage about 18 months. So effectively that will come into the profit and loss account over 2011 and 2012. In addition, there is development land that's included in the inventory and within the CALA, and the market value, like, because it's an inventory, it's included in our books at a lower cost than the realizable value. Okay, so we have had a valuation carried out, and that valuation would suggest that there is an extra 24 million there that's not recognized in the books. The net asset value per share is 547. So we think that we have a strong balance sheet, robust solvency, and prudent investment and reserving policies. Moving on to slide 17, which deals with the dividend policy. Andrew has already given you the news that our final dividend, recommending 21 cents, which brings our total dividend for the year to 31.5 cents. Which is up 5%. And looking at the chart on the bottom right, you'll see that that our payout ratio has reduced to early 30s. I think it's 22% from memory. And that's down on the previous year. And essentially what that reflects is that our policy is to have a sustainable and progressive dividend. Okay? We remain committed to having a robust balance sheet and a capital position. Okay, but when it comes to payout ratio, in 2009 we had a reduction in operating profits. Okay, but we kept our dividend rising. Therefore, we increased our payout ratio so to continue to have a progressive strategy. In 2010, we've seen a very significant increase of 41% in operating profits and earnings per share. Okay, and therefore it's appropriate for us to cut back on the dividend payout ratio so as to keep the slide going in a progressive and sustainable fashion. Up on the top right-hand side, we've given a brief note in relation to Solvency II. For those who don't know, Solvency II is a new capital adequacy requirement, a regime, okay, that's being introduced on a European-wide basis for all insurance companies with effect from 2013. And like all our insurance companies, all major insurance companies, we conducted a Quiz 5 exercise. That stands for Quantitative Impact Study number 5, okay? And it was a test of our capital adequacy. And just to give you the news that we met the required standards in entirely and had excess capital over the Quiz 5 solvency capital requirements. Okay? At this stage, Solvency II is still a large project for us, as it is for most insurers. We expect to be in a position to meet all Solvency II capital requirements in advance of their introduction in 2013. Now I'm going to pass back to Andrew to talk about the outlook.
Okay, so in terms of the outlook, on slide 18, we talk about the outlook firstly for our underwriting business, Equity Insurance. And on the left-hand side, the four bullet points on the left-hand side really refer to what we think will happen in the insurance market as a whole. And while there is no doubt economic uncertainty has reduced and is continuing to reducing, we believe that domestic demand will fall further. And from a rate of 6 or 7% last year, we think the contraction will be somewhere between 2 and 4%. There is no doubt that austerity measures are going to have an impact on economic activity and insurance values, and that feeds into number one, how comfortable if people are to spend money, feeds into house insurance prices and feeds into car insurance prices, but it also feeds into business insurance because the main drivers of insurance risk, especially from a liability point of view, depends on how much money people spend. Also, at an industry level again, we believe that there will be further rate increases, especially on the property account and especially following the freeze in December 2010. And we think that they will benefit, that they will be a positive for the industry. However, we believe that it's too early to call, but the market, as we said, has contracted 30% since 2003. And we believe it's probably still a little bit too early to call whether 2010 will signal the bottom of that market, the bottom of the market contraction, and whether the positive rate increase that I just spoke about will exceed the reduction in volume and more especially, I suppose, in covering the marketplace. So within that, although we do have plenty of plans for growing in areas that I discussed earlier, in terms of no-nonsense, in terms of distribution through brokers, and in terms of distribution in the Dublin area especially, the opportunity against a possibly stagnant or marginally increasing and decreasing market, obviously our opportunity for growth is dramatically limited at a top line level. However, we believe that the underwriting discipline we showed and the cost containment on the claim side and on the cost side is going to deliver improved profitability in 2011 over 2010, and obviously a big determinant of that will be the absence of weather events, the scale of that we've had in 2010 and 2009. We will continue to focus on profitable growth opportunities, and I spoke about some of those already, and especially we will be endeavouring to keep our cost ratio at the lowest in the industry. And our objective is to be the most successful, that's not necessarily the biggest insurance company in Ireland, but certainly the most successful in terms of generating returns for our shareholders. On slide 19, then, we talk about the outlook for our non-underwriting businesses. And on our property leisure businesses, we believe the market will remain difficult, more so in Ireland than in Spain. Obviously, the Spanish leisure market is more dependent on recovery, especially in Northern Europe. But particularly in Ireland, recovery in the long term is going to be dependent on a reduction in market capacity and a growth in the number of foreign tourists, and I've spoken about those already. Within that, we're going to focus on the development of new market initiatives, and that's everything from advertising to room rate strategies, etc., and also on different segments to improve profitability. And we've been successful to date in this, and the early trading in 2011 is positive. Unit sales at Locale will continue and have continued into this year, and we will also, obviously, in all those businesses, continue to focus on costs. And overall, we expect an increased level of profitability from those businesses in 2011. As regards our financial services and other businesses, SB Brokers, is positioned very well to take advantage of the buoyancy of the agribusiness sector, and it's going to continue to see kind of get new business wins there. While Equity Financial Solutions has had a positive start to the year as well, continuing on the trends of last year, and will continue to focus on the needs of their customers, whether it be protection or whether it be investment. And again, in both of those businesses, we are expecting an increased contribution in 2011. So in summary then, on page 20, we believe that SPD continues to have a robust underwriting business, and I think we demonstrated that pretty solidly in 2010. And we do have plans for growth in a market where we believe, in the short term at least, is not likely to grow significantly. And most importantly, we have a track record of profitable growth. Our property and leisure businesses, through their quality, are managed to outperform their competitors. And very importantly, we have in our insurance business a de-risk balance sheet and a prudent reserving policy, and they all feed into a very strong capital base. In the future, we will benefit from the hardening market and we'll capitalise on growth opportunities. Obviously, we will continue to benefit from the relative strength of the agri sector compared to some of the other sectors in the economy, and we're committed to producing superior returns to our shareholders. And at this stage, we believe that the improvement that we foresee in our underwriting business will be the driver of delivering the growth in operating earnings from 106 cents this year to somewhere between 130 to 140 cents per share for 2011. So that concludes our formal presentation. So I'm joined now by Cathal O'Queeve, our finance director, and Adrian Tatney, our sales and marketing director. And I'm free to take questions, firstly, perhaps from the room, and following on from that, we may ask for questions from shareholders on the telephone conference. Ken from Goodbody.
And just wondering on your gross written premium trend, the second half of the year you saw rate momentum just slow a little bit and policy volumes down. And what are the trends for the first half maybe you're seeing so far, and what was the cause of those changes in H2?
Okay, you're referring really, Ken, to the slide on the bottom right-hand corner of page 6 in the main. To date this year, I would say that our policy volumes remain reasonably robust, and obviously, and our average rate is probably will still be ahead of the previous period last year. The big driver, or the big unknown, is in terms of cover and mix, and I would say that in the early part of this year, and this happened in the second half of last year, we probably saw, especially in the business insurance market, as consumer demand fell, we probably saw a bigger fall off in values being delivered there. Okay, and that has continued somewhat into this year as well.
And Ken, just to mention that the way you asked the question, okay, the average premium in half two was not down. Average premium is way up. Not cumulative, that chart is half.
The average premium is up, absolutely.
The rate of growth is a little lower. Yeah.
Exactly, that's low. Exactly. Emer.
Yeah, if I were to do it broadly, the net assets would be, there would be roughly 30 million in the non-insurance, okay, and so that means about 160 in the insurance.
payments.
Can I just ask on page 16, you just
the 46 million the 46 million have the 46 million, as we said, we sold if you look, go back to 31st December 2009, that 59 million was roughly 30 million of development land, and which was in a cost, and 29 million of work in progress, which was the unsold units, and we sold 13 million worth of the unsold units. So the balance that is left then, so it's probably 16 or 17 million left in work in progress, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 18. I think every time we sell a unit, a small amount comes out of development land. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's 18 and 28.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Gerard Morrison on there. When you look at slide 5 on your market share,
yep.
Who would you say you're taking market share from? Is it across the board? And do you have any targets of where, you know, let's say over the next 3 to 5 years, how do you think that will progress? And then more specifically in Dublin, also, how do you think how far will you progress in Dublin?
Fair enough. Okay, Gerard. I guess, as I said during the presentation, we only actually have our own market share figure for 2010, so it's very difficult to know exactly. I don't think it's coming from a specific any specific player. I think, broadly speaking, it's coming from players across the marketplace. In terms of our market share ambition, our ambition is of course to grow market share. But as I said during the presentation, our ambition first and foremost is to be the most successful insurance company are, and we would gauge that success more on our ability to outperform in terms of return and in terms of profitability rather than pure market share growth. And especially in a market which, as we said, certain segments are very competitive at the moment, and you can see that by the combined operating ratios in car and house insurance. We believe that once returns come to a level which are sustainable, we certainly like to grow in those, but there are certain segments where we believe growth for them might not be what we want to do. In terms of Dublin, our market share outside Dublin is probably about 15%, and inside Dublin is about 5%, and I think that within 3 to 5 years we would want to replicate that throughout the country.
Can I ask about the underwriting expenses? Just confirm that you said that there was a credit of roughly 11 million relating to pension.
That's not in the underwriting expenses. That's below the line item in the P&L. Yeah, so it's not. It hasn't come out of that. Yeah. So if you look at the actual published P&L, you'll see there's a one-off item below the line, so we didn't include it in operating.
Okay.
Just on claims, obviously second half performance was very good, and
yep,
that come down to December, traffic on the road.
Absolutely.
I'm just wondering, like, if you strip that out, it still looks like a very good performance. And is it one a chance to write more volume as a result of kind of a better underlying claims performance? And for the forecast for the future year, if you look at the average of 2010, could you use that, excluding the weather, as some guide for the claims ratio?
Okay, well, I'll call out for the second one in terms of the guidance for 2011. But just in terms of our claims experience, which I think we show on our claims experience in the second half, I think there on slide 9, you know, we've said before, in periods where our claims experience has not been favourable, I suppose you can point out that one very bad, you know, a 6 month period or a 3 month period especially is not that reliable a period from an insurance point of view to extrapolate to the future. And I guess even though the trends have been positive for some time and have been gradually positive in terms of frequency, especially on the non-weather related book, I think that the experience in the second half of last year, we would want to see very firm evidence that is a continual, and I doubt very much that scale of improvement is a continuous feature, but I think you want to wait to see that experience coming through before making decisions about, you know, how aggressive you might be on volume. So I think we'd want to know for sure the underlying profitability the business has, whether that has improved. In terms of guidance, Paul, on claims cost?
In terms of guidance and claims cost, 77 is the loss ratio in 2010. Okay, and that includes three items. The first one is severe weather in January. The second one is severe weather in December. And then the third one is an unbelievably low rate